You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to Good Morning Football. We have 32 new players, 255 more to go. We are waiting to hear their names called as we've got two more days to go. I am here. We've got Peter Schrager and Kyle Brandt there in Detroit. We got Jason McCourty joining us from his home. But let's start with you guys. It was a late night for all of us. What are you fueled by this morning? Coffee, energy drink, electrolytes?
We're still right here at the draft stage as we look at you, Jane and Jason, really fired up. I got to salute Detroit, 275,000 people last night. And I want you guys both to hear, yesterday on the show, we had a little debate. Who is a bigger Detroit icon? Yeah. Was it Eminem or Barry Sanders? I was right there last night. I was right in the front row when all of the luminaries came out. It was Calvin Johnson and everybody. It was Jared Goff, Aiden Hutchinson. I have to tell you, I was the only person who said that Barry Sanders is a bigger icon than Eminem. You all said Eminem. There was a noticeably louder cheer here in the draft theater
for
Eminem.
Yeah,
it was louder than it was.
It's like seeing
Barry.
A Sasquatch. You don't see him out in the wild ever.
I know.
Barry's on the network.
That was your take.
Barry just showed up on NFL Honors. Like, we see Barry a lot.
Yeah, Barry's on the Insiders today. He's sitting down. He's one of them.
Barry's with Gam and Daniel last night.
Barry's hosting Pat to the draft. We love it. So, guys, it was Eminem. It was incredible. We're all here. We're going to recap all the picks. There were some weird ones, Peter.
Wacky, I also want to shout out your sweatshirt here. This isn't the current day version of the Pistons. You're shouting out Bad Boys, John Sally, James Edwards, Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars.
I hate you, Bill Laimbeer. I hate you with a passion, but I still respect what you accomplished. Let's do it.
Let's do some draft talk, guys.
I love that. Shout out Joe Dumars and the whole crew, Rodman and all of those guys. The draft was unbelievable watching from my home. Shout out to all the girlfriends and significant others trying to get in there on the shot and celebrate with these new players. It was fantastic. Let's get to it. Let's break it down. Jane, let's do our thing.
Stating the obvious. It's always fun. Watching this stuff on social media is the best. Let's get right into it. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. Time for the lead block.
Lead block.
All right, guys. The draft got so nuts at pick number 8. The Atlanta Falcons going with the lefty out of Washington, a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. Now, he did not attend the draft, but he did address the media and, like all of us, a little bit surprised.
The moment was special. You know, obviously it's something I've been dreaming of since I was a kid, you know, so to be able to be in this position, you know, I'm blessed. That's all I can say. I'm blessed. You know, I mean, I had no idea, you know, but I know that everything happens for a reason. I'm super excited to be able to be a part of the organization. I can't wait to go make an impact.
Sunglasses inside and an impact shaking up this draft at number 8. Peter, what do you make of it?
Yeah, look, this is the pick of the night if you're just waking up this morning. Penix, nobody had in the top 10 in any mock drafts. Penix, nobody had tied to Atlanta. Then yesterday, late afternoon, you started hearing some whispers. of other teams wondering, is there a surprise team in the top 10? Is there a team that would trade up in the top 10 for one of the quarterbacks as each one of these teams were figuring out who was going to be their match? So the Atlanta Falcons, the same offseason they give Kirk Cousins over $100 million, end up drafting a quarterback, and a quarterback who's not a project quarterback. This wasn't like them taking some wild card quarterback who they're like, he needs 3 years. Michael Penix has been playing college football for about a decade. He's 24 years old. He's one of the best quarterbacks over the last four seasons of college football. This is one of those deals where you try to justify it, and here is the argument that will be made out of Atlanta.
Make the argument. Go on.
The argument is you look at Green Bay and the reaction when they took Jordan Love. And yes, Jordan Love was 21 years old. And yes, Aaron Rodgers, there was no threat of him at all. And of course, Aaron Rodgers was 13-3. These guys were the eighth overall pick. You look at Green Bay, they drafted their guy, Jordan Love, and there was eventually a transition to be made. In this case, if you're Atlanta, you make this move for Cousins. You think you're going to the playoffs. You think you're winning the NFC South. You envision yourself to be in the back end of the first round for the next several years. You won't get an opportunity to draft a quarterback. You won't be able to draft a guy like Michael Penix. And as you saw the last few years, when they're bouncing around in mediocrity and season after season of 8-8 and 9-7 and getting Ritter and Heinicke and just very little star blue chip quarterbacks, they ended up having to pay $100 million for one. This is their insurance policy. They get a guy that they think is a number one quarterback, but he's now going to be their number two. Kirk Cousins not being told it was going to happen. I don't know if you're being paid $100 million necessarily, if I'm going to cry for you the next morning that there's a little competition in the quarterback room. They'll have conversations with everybody. I wouldn't have said this was going to happen. I certainly am not one to be like, it was a great pick. I hear you at home. That's the justification. They now have their succession plan in place. Kirk Cousins is 36 years old, coming off an Achilles injury. God forbid he goes down. We still have a guy, and we still have a team built to win.
It's very well stated, Peter. I need to retort with the other side of things. Naturally. There's a lot of fans here last night, and nobody's crying for Kirk Cousins, but I'm looking for answers for Falcons fans who are waking up this morning with the same question that fans all across the world have. Is like, what are we doing? Like, that's just a simple question. So naturally, you cut to the Falcons' brain trust. You just mentioned it, and they go right to it. We're doing the Jordan Love formula. There's a few slight, really key differences between the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. The Jordan Love formula, which worked for the Packers, the year prior to drafting Jordan Love, they were a 13-win team. The year after drafting Jordan Love, they're a 13-win team. This was already a juggernaut that was in the playoffs, winning playoff games every single year. The Atlanta Falcons, doing the Jordan Love family, haven't been to the playoffs, Peter, in 7 years. So we have no turnkey playoff team that we're just going to have the luxury of stashing some quarterback for a few years. We need players. We haven't been to the playoffs since post 28-3. Like, it's been a long time. So I think there's other teams that are going to do this because the Packers did it, seemed to work well. So we'll draft the quarterback now. I think the Cowboys should have done it last night, and they didn't. But if you're a Falcons fan, you're saying, Kirk Cousins is not Aaron Rodgers. We're not the Packers. We're trying to win in Andy's room against the Jaguars. Like, never mind getting to the NFC title game and all these assumptions that we're going to be in the playoffs every year because we have Kirk Cousins. Yeah. No one in the media loves Kirk Cousins more than me. Guys, he ain't no lock. No, he's not going to turn the Falcons into some sort of greatest show on turf. So if you're a Falcons fan this morning, you're like, okay, great. I guess we have a long-term solution at quarterback. What is the 2024 team?
Can I tell you the dichotomy? And maybe Jason will hit this too as someone who lived in one of those buildings. You got Belichick on over on YouTube and ESPN Plus as this is all going down. And here's Belichick, who they passed on. And here's Belichick. Yeah. And we trust this organ. We're going to trust our brain trust in Rich McKay and Terry Fontenot and Arthur Blank and now Raheem Moore. And it's not like they just went chalk and said, all right, Dallas Turner or Terrion Arnold. They take this huge swing. And if it doesn't work, it's almost more ammo for the Belichick camp being like, okay, you guys know better.
What do you think, Jack?
That's a great point. And Bill was on there. And the one thing he said was having two good quarterbacks can never be a bad thing. But as I look at this, Kyle, I'm right with you because you're sitting there and you're saying, all right, we're bringing in Michael Penix. You're copying the Green Bay style. And something that you just said, Shregs, was Penix is 3 years older than Jordan Love was when he got drafted. So by the time he gets on the field, it's a totally different situation. I'm looking at this, and as much as Atlanta loved Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins coming in there doesn't guarantee that we're now winning a Super Bowl. So now you start to wonder, you draft Michael Penix eighth overall. At what point does he play? Does he play after year one? Is he inserted if something goes wrong? Do they feel confident to be able to put him in the game before we maybe anticipate it? And on the flip side, for Kirk Cousins and his camp, hearing about it when they get on the clock is crazy. And that's something that he said. This is a business. You got to deal with it. You can be frustrated. And $100 million, all of those different things, feelings are feelings. You got to go out there and perform. It's like at the same time, you guys are out in Detroit. You go out. You're at the bar. And next thing you know, you call your wife back home. And you're like, hey, I met a young lady. I want to move in with us and be my second girlfriend or something like that. That's what Kirk Cousins was dealing with last night. And you got to pick your stuff up, go out there and perform. But for a Falcons team that looked like, all right, we got Kirk Cousins. We felt like we were a quarterback away, and now we got to build our team around him. To go get Michael Penix this high, this early, and worry about the future, you can question what they're doing right now. But I look at this as, from a long-term standpoint, the Falcons are saying, hey, as much as we like Kirk Cousins as a veteran on our team and our organization and what he's going to be able to do for our team over the next year to maybe two, we feel like Michael Penix is a guy that can take us over the top. Kirk Cousins throughout his career has been really good, but hasn't been able to get to that promised land of getting to a Super Bowl. They may feel that way about Michael Penix. Jane, you were talking about Kirk Cousins and his reaction to his camp. What would you make of it?
Well, when I reached out to his camp, as I reported last night, they were given no indication of this. I know some people said they picked up the phone right as they were calling, but doesn't seem like a lot of a heads up. And I think there is some frustration here. Yes, I think it's hard for a lot of fans to go, well, why should we cry over a guy that's getting, you know, $90 million guaranteed the first 2 years, $10 million guaranteed the third year? But as it was explained to me, we have a no trade clause, not a must trade clause at this point. So I do think that they're going to have to smooth things over a little bit. There was an understanding that if they were going to get a quarterback, that they would reach out and give him a heads up. That didn't happen. So before we go after the Falcons, before we go after Terry Fontenot, why don't we at least hear what he had to say in terms of explaining himself for the pick?
If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
I think the hard part I'm having with this, Peter, is when did you fall in love with Michael Penix? I mean, we all know that they went to Seattle. They brought their contingency up there. They had the workout. But when he's sitting there saying you're okay with them sitting 4 to 5 years, are they trying to convince themselves that when the market becomes overbloated in a couple of years for quarterbacks, APYs and guarantees, they can say, well, your number doesn't match that because you haven't played a lot. And maybe they're saying that they're going to get a bargain in the future. I'm just confused. Maybe you can help me make sense of it, Peter.
That's the economics of the NFL. If you were to ask a Yale graduate in analytics, they would tell you draft a quarterback every year because you never want to hit these points where you're paying Tua Tagovailoa $55 million or Derek Carr $50 million. You just keep having a different stash of young guys so that when you're done with Cousins, you've got someone else at a relatively normal price and an affordable price, and you could build around them. Truth of the matter is this. The quarterback is valued differently than every other position in the league. If you love a quarterback, you can justify in your head, we're taking him whether we have one or not. Like you said, they obviously aren't a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl, but also in the same breath, are they a Dallas Turner or a Latu away from winning the Super Bowl? In this case, they value the quarterback position. They have been through hell since Matt Ryan has been gone. We're talking about terrible quarterback play and a rotating door. That's real. That leaves scars, and now you can't platoon them. And that's the other thing. When they had Flacco in Baltimore and they drafted Lamar, the argument was, well, you'll get Lamar in on some gadget plays. You'll figure it out. You'll get him involved. Penix,
this is not that.
Penix isn't that quarterback. Right. Now, you could use him in the run game, but he's more of a pocket quarterback also.
I see that some Falcons fans this morning are saying, well, if we like Penix that much, why don't we just draft Penix and not buy Cousins? Like, let's just go with him. They must absolutely be head over heels for Penix. So bring him in and start him like all the other rookies are going to start. Why not? But it's not the case. I have to hear, when I hear them say, sit for four or five years. So what, Michael Penix's first start's going to be against Arch Manning?
And he's going to be 30.
Yeah.
He's 24 already.
It's 5 years. That's nuts. And I know it's the new normal now, but due respect, like, you're the Falcons. Like, you need to get off your butt. You need some weapons. You need some people. And he's going to be sitting there, Peter, until 2029. It'll be the next eclipse, and he already has the glasses. Like, what? It's a very strange pick. I'm confused this morning.
The Belichick army is out, I'll tell you that. That when you're a brain trust and you make such an outside-the-box pick,
yeah,
And there's an article last week that comes out and says Belichick wasn't in your top three of coaching decisions. Yeah. And this is going against convention. This is saying we're really going against convention and just the typical chalk. Here's what it is.
There are some happy teams this morning. We're going to talk about them, right? We're going to talk some happy players.
We're not just going
to
talk about
them. Right? No, it's not. It's not. Daniel Jones is happy this morning, right?
Sure is, yeah.
Let's go, Daniel. All right, take us out. We'll be back.
Okay, and real quick before we go, guys, we've got to ask Peter if he's got a DeLorean because you've been hitting some of your mock drafts here in recent years. This one was pretty good last night. Kyle, what'd you think about your boy and how he did on this one?
First of all, I tried to get us to commercial before we give Peter his victory lap. I'm sorry. I apologize.
First, James, can we show the post that was done here? Guys, thank you, Good Morning Football Twitter. I appreciate you guys giving me the love. 13 correct player and team. It's the best I've ever done. 29 of 32. Look at that last column there. Graham Barton had right. Tyler Guyton had right. Darius Robinson had right. And then my last one, I didn't get the team right. But I had a team trade him back up into the first round for Xavier Legette. That is exactly what the Panthers did. Yeah, I'm going to take my victory lap, Kyle. Thank you, though, for
noticing. Was the Legette one the most satisfying? Like, what was the one that the dog hates this?
I'll tell you
what. Bite you.
Tell you what. Number 12 was satisfying because I got a lot of hate on that. They would never just take Bo Nix at 12. They'll trade back. They'll move up. They'll do something. And I just, on good intelligence, knew they wanted Bo Nix. And why get cute? Take Bo Nix at 12 if he's there. And they did. Six quarterbacks go in the top 12 picks. I had six in the top 13, so my mock draft, I'm sure, is the thing that everyone's waking up talking about this morning. But
I'm going to talk about it. I give this speech every single year. Peter's mock draft is the one. Most of them are based on, I'd watch tape, here's what I would do. Peter's going on sources and insight. That's not what you think should happen. It's what you're hearing will happen. Peter nails it. We gave him his credit.
Last year, I got 2 of 32 right on my mock draft. I got one guy, Bryce Young, and the other guy, Tyree Wilson. The rest was wrong. I thought I was going to have to retire from the game. I will now blame my baby daughter, who was born a month earlier. I was too busy in baby world. Now I'm fresh. She's 1 year old. We don't even worry about her. Now we just talk about mock drafts all day.
How do you miss the Rams pick? Like, you didn't get the
Rams. That was bad.
What are you doing? Like, you're Mr. Ram.
And I guaranteed they would take an offensive player. They stayed put and took a defensive player. Terrible.
Shrey just threw Betty under the bus and blamed his daughter for 2 out of 32. That was
under Betty Schrager.
Just Betty Schrager catching a Shrey. I expect nothing less from Schrager. Congratulations. Awesome. I was sitting there just going through like, wow, that one was correct. That one was correct. If we're not allowed to, but I should have started betting and made some money off it. But Schrager, maybe next year.
Can do it. Appreciate you, Jason.
I love the work you put into it, my man. Your dog in the background because he knows you got that dog in him, that Denver Broncos Bo Nix pick, particularly interesting. All right. Well, if you love the fans, the hugs and the fits, you're in luck because the NFL draft presented by Bud Light has six more rounds to go, and you can catch NFL Network's coverage presented by Verizon today at 7 p.m. Eastern, streaming on NFL Plus and on ESPN. Coming your way in just a matter of hours, it's day number 2. So much great talent still available. Where will Cooper DeJean land? We'll discuss.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Okay. They're really going to do this?
And whatever happened to the edge rusher? I thought that's where we were going with Atlanta.
Here we go.
With the eighth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Well, there it is.
Wow. Washington. Woo!
That is the first surprise of the NFL Draft, to say the least.
That was the pick of the night. We started the show with it, and I've got Tom Pelissero here. I wanted to unpack this with you a little bit. The Penix selection by Atlanta, a lot of head-scratching. Empty your notebook. What's your take on it?
So every year, you know, the draft goes late. This show's on early. I'm always on with you. And so the last thing I do before I go to bed is I'll text scouts, executives with every team, and just say, hey, it's the most surprising pick of the night. What jumped out? And in the past, you've had Alex Leatherwood. It's been Damon Arnett.
Logan Hall.
And Cole Strange.
Yes.
This year, I woke up this morning, and every text was Penix, Penix by far, Penix blew everyone's mind, Penix, 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 Penix. This was not just the surprise of the night. This was one of the most shocking picks in an NFL draft in the past 5 years. And I'm not coming here to tell you whether or not this was the right move.
Totally.
Will it pay off down in 4 or 5 years like they were talking about last night if Kirk Cousins is there for that long? But I've seen the comparisons to Green Bay and taking Jordan Love, and he got the sit for several years, then takes over for Aaron Rodgers. By the time the Packers were taking Aaron Rodgers, this was a relationship that we already knew was probably not going to end well. Aaron Rodgers wasn't coming in for the offseason at that point. There were signs that maybe at some point he'd want to move on. The Packers have always done this for years, draft the quarterback earlier. With Kirk Cousins, I just checked his Instagram story. He was on stage at their draft party last night.
Is that right?
Hyping people up. An hour and a half later, they call him on the clock and say, by the way, we're taking a quarterback. This isn't a relationship. They've gone south. This is cheating on your wife on the honeymoon. We just got there. So Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, they're talking a lot about, we're never going to be in this position again because we're going to win. We're never going to be up at the top of the draft again. And maybe that's true. What they have now taken on for themselves is a unique dynamic in their locker room, is a unique dynamic for that team every time they set foot on the field. You got a second-time head coach in Raheem Morris, but in his first year, you got a first-time play caller in Zach Robinson. If you don't come out with gangbusters with Drake London and Bijan Robinson, if it's not firing on all cylinders, absent the Penix pick, people would be like, okay, they're going to, it takes some time. Yeah. We're going to get this thing rolling. Kirk's our guy, $90 million fully guaranteed over 2 years. Now it's going to be Penix, Penix. Yeah. That's a real thing that takes place in the NFL. They obviously have a plan. Once they couldn't move out of number 8, they felt good enough. We need to take Michael Penix. Terry Fontenot said it over and over. When you identify that guy as a franchise quarterback, you've got to take that guy. Fundamentally, I agree with that point. You usually don't do it a month after giving a guy a fully guaranteed contract over the next couple of years. And by the way, this would be a lot more like if the Vikings had taken that guy last year. Kirk Cousins kept saying it's not about the dollars, it's what the dollars represent.
Yep.
This was supposed to be representing a commitment to him, and all of a sudden your successor's already in the room.
And think about it from another wrinkle of just the Minnesota side of it. Obviously, he leaves Minnesota because they're offering the guaranteed money in Atlanta. The personalities. O'Connell knows Zach Robinson very well, who's in Atlanta. O'Connell knows Raheem Morris very well because they were in L.A. together. Wes Phillips is in Minnesota. He knows all those guys. And it's all jockeying, and Minnesota does get their quarterback, but Atlanta moves above them to get a different quarterback. And I think Minnesota was comfortable with Penix if it fell that way to go to 11 if someone took McCarthy. So it's like, it's so intertwined that they both get quarterbacks, and I think both fan bases are looking like kind of in the mirror, like the Spider-Man meme. Like, what just went down last night?
I was talking with someone with the Vikings a couple of weeks ago, you know, just through all the quarterbacks, and I brought up Michael Penix, and I was, you know, just going through the scouting report. I don't watch the tape, but I talk to like people. It's, you know, the people who don't like him, it's really, really good. He'll fire it off when it's clean, and he can pick you apart, but the moment that there's any type of pressure, the pocket breaks down, you don't know what's going to happen. And the person goes, sounds a lot like Kirk Cousins. Huh. So you've got a guy, Michael Penix, who kind of has that same type of game here. He turns 24 next month. He's played 6 years in college. How long can you realistically keep him on the bench? Well, again, $90 million fully guaranteed over 2 years for Kirk Cousins. Another $10 million is going to vest into 2026. This is supposed to be a multi-year commitment to Kirk Cousins. But again, we'll see how this entire thing plays out. You brought up the Vikings last
night. Let's talk McCarthy. So
it was fascinating how the top of the draft fell, because you got through the first two picks, which were pretty well set and pretty well known.
I think the first three, four were chalk, I would think.
I would agree. I would agree with three with Drake May, but they were still taking offers.
Sure.
They still got offers as recently as Wednesday. They still, you know, there were teams that took a Hail Mary while the Patriots were on the clock. But at this point, it was, you're not going to get to where it would need to be. We're taking Drake May. The Vikings were one of those teams who was trying to go up, potentially get Drake May. With J.J. McCarthy, they didn't make the effort to go way up. They weren't trying to get into
four. They weren't giving that 23rd
pick. Five. And that's not to say they weren't high on J.J. McCarthy. They simply were looking at the value aspect of it. So there was a game of chicken with the Giants. It was, do we think the Giants are actually going to take J.J. McCarthy? The answer was, no, we don't. And so he begins to slide down the board. At some point, once Michael Penix Jr. comes off, it's all right. We've gone far enough here. They still gave up a pick to be able to move up one spot.
Well, because who knows? Denver could have jumped them if they loved McCarthy. So you move the pick up with the Jets.
Or the Raiders. The two teams right behind you.
Who end up with no quarterback. Real quick, I want to go to two NFC West teams who at the end of the night kind of made some waves. A lot of wide receiver talk with Ayuk and Debo, and there was a bunch of guys still on the board. Ricky Pearsall is the pick by the 49ers. Not everyone had him in their first round of the mock draft. I did not. What was your take on that selection?
I definitely did not either. That was the secondary answer. A few people said Michael Penix and Ricky Pearsall were the surprises of the night here. The way that Kyle Shanahan looks at it, he always talks about contact courage. And when you watch Ricky Pearsall's tape, he's constantly putting himself in these positions where he's going to take a hit. He's not afraid to go over the middle. He's not afraid to make the tough catch. He will initiate contact when he has to here. Kyle Shanahan said last night, we think he can play outside, he can play inside, he can be all over the field here. Kyle Shanahan knows quarterbacks and he knows wide receivers. He's got another good one. This comes at a unique time when we've been talking about Brandon Ayuk. Are they going to get a contract done? Potentially, could he be traded? If they get the Ayuk contract done, could Debo Samuel be traded? They've said as strongly as they are willing to last night, hey, Debo's a big part of the team. Yeah. Ayuk's part of the team. Let's see, though, through the course of today, what, if anything, might take place. Because there's certainly still a possibility. The 49ers are always going to answer the phone. There's always a possibility things could change.
Real quick, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Verse. They stay set at 19. They really liked Verse. Never did a pro day visit with, never did a top 30 visit with him. The Rams don't do top 30 visits. They were very stealth on this thing. Les Snead, even when he called, Jared Verse had the wrong number. They had to get the right number.
He
had the wrong number. He was off by a digit.
Some low-level personnel guy just got fired. Your whole job is to check the phone number.
And I'm outing him for it. But I would say this. There was some calls throughout the draft by the Rams. Those reports were accurate about potentially having a move up, and the player that they had their eyes on, if he had slipped a little bit, was Brock Bowers. So the Rams really fell in love with Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, and as he's plummeting down boards and all the quarterbacks are going, there were phone calls made and there was some excitement in that LA building that they might be able to get Brock Bowers and add him to that offense. It turns out they go defense. They love Jared Verse. They are happy with this selection. They don't trade back and they don't draft offense. I have to hand in my Rams credibility card. I said, I guarantee Sean McVay's first round pick, the first time he ever makes one, it's not going to be some defensive end. The first pick that Sean McVay ever made as a first round pick was a defensive end. So I totally lose all my credibility.
And real quick too, you mentioned Brock Bowers in there. There were a lot of people with the Raiders who really loved Michael Penix and thought he's going to be there at 13. He might even be there later if we trade back and get him to the 13. So they're as shocked as anybody and disappointed when Penix comes off the board. But there's excitement there about getting Brock Bowers in, another weapon for that offense.
Trevor Sikkema joining us now from Pro Football Focus, because it was a wild night. You know, I know we didn't get a lot of sleep, folks, but when you get some of the action that we saw in the first round, namely this happening, Michael Penix Jr. getting picked by the Atlanta Falcons, which, recap, They've already got Kirk Cousins. Remember, $100 million guaranteed in those first 3 years? Why? Trevor, what were your thoughts when the Falcons made this move? As shocking to you as it was for a lot of us covering this this draft?
Extremely shocking. And look, first and foremost, I'm so happy for Michael Penix, right? So many season-ending injuries. He went from Indiana to Washington, climbed his way back up NFL draft boards. I'm so happy that this dude is a top 10 pick. I think he's an awesome dude, and I totally understand why Atlanta was. The rest of this process, I don't really love, right? You give all of that money to Kirk Cousins. You give him a ton of security. You say he's the man. Now you bring in a quarterback, a top 10 quarterback, and say, man, Kirk, if you falter in any way, shape, or form, we got this guy right behind you. And even if that's not what their intention was, that's unfortunately what this is. And the other thing with this whole pick is the Falcons were supposed to compete this year. They're supposed to go take the division this year, and maybe they will anyways. But if they don't, people are going to look back on this pick and be like, this could have been a player that was a difference maker for us to take control of the NFC South. So love Michael Penix. Tough for me to understand why the Falcons made this move in him.
A lot of people are feeling the exact same way. Schrager, at the beginning of the hour, brought up the Bill Belichick thought of people were saying, hey, we decided to pass on him, and now we're going in this direction, Penix and Cousins. But that's not the only quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round. J.J. McCarthy ends up in Minnesota. They don't have to go all the way up in the top five. Now, they also brought in Sam Darnold, who a lot of people said they fell in love with and really think that he can be a good quarterback in this league. Trevor, how do you see it playing out between J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold there in Minnesota?
I love this for so many reasons. I feel like it's best case scenario other than maybe just staying at 11 and getting McCarthy, but they only have to trade up to 10 to do it. So they don't have to give up a king's ransom to go to 4 or 5, like some of the mock drafts said. Instead, they get McCarthy at a great spot. And I think that he's going to a great spot. I love the idea of him, of course, with Kevin O'Connell, with Justin Jefferson, with an offensive line that's really, really getting there as one of the better ones in the NFL. But it's that opportunity to sit behind Sam Darnold. I don't think they brought Sam Darnold in and told him, like, hey, you're the guy. We're 100% going to stick with you this year. I think they did it to say, look, we're probably going to draft a quarterback. We're going to give you the best opportunity to start right away while that guy can groom and sit and wait. I think it's a perfect scenario here in Minnesota with McCarthy going to the Vikings.
Yeah, and both those quarterbacks are going to have so many weapons to throw the ball to. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. Having weapons for quarterbacks are a huge thing. And in Jacksonville, they brought in another weapon in Brian Thomas. What do you think he can do for Trevor Lawrence there out in Duval County?
I did not realize how much the Jacksonville Jaguars pushed the football down the field last year. On 20-plus throws, I looked this up after their draft, on 20-plus throws, they were top 10 in most attempts. They were 8 in most attempts. They were 5th in total yards. They were 1st in big-time throws, and this is just where they're going to lean into, and I kind of love it. Trevor Lawrence might throw for 5,000 yards next year because you go out and you sign a vertical threat like Gabe Davis, and then you go and draft a vertical threat like Brian Thomas Jr. Man, I did not even think about exactly how much they were going to put their foot on the gas with this pick, but that is exactly what they did here. So there's a little skeptical about it because of all the great corners that were still on the board when they came on the clock, even with that trade back. But to me, this signals the offense was not good enough last year, and we're not letting Calvin Ridley leave in free agency give us any excuse for not lighting up a scoreboard. So it could be a huge statistical season for Trevor Lawrence coming up here in 2024.
Speaking of Trevor, I've got another question for you. You know, when we look at yesterday's draft, so many offensive players, all of those quarterbacks really pushed down so many good ones. When I was looking at the list, we've got quarterback Cooper DeJean, cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry, one of my favorite names in the draft, linebacker Ezrin Cooper, even Jackson Powers Johnson, the center, who I think a lot of people have questions why maybe he didn't go in the first round. Who do you think we see, especially of those guys coming off the board first?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Cooper DeJean is still here. I really am. And an extremely good playmaker. But, you know, you talk about Jackson Powers Johnson as well. I'll throw Johnny Newton from Illinois, too. I can't believe he's sitting here at the top of the second round. Maybe there's a little bit of injury concern with both him and Jackson Powers Johnson. But that's what makes it so intriguing of where these guys are going to go. Because they're first round talents, in my opinion. Maybe just some injury history, some things that are coming along with medicals going into the league pushes them down a little bit. So somebody's getting a steal talent-wise. Can't wait to see who it is.
No doubt about it. We got so much more fun to come. Trevor, appreciate you coming up, waking up early, getting up with us. Can't wait to see what else happens in this draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Good morning, football! With the fourth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
That was the moment last night, and this is the man on the bottom screen here. This is the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes joining us on Good Morning Football, Coach Ryan Day.
What's up, coach? Good morning.
Great to have you, Coach. Take us through that moment last night and also the lead up to this and the young man that these Arizona Cardinals fans are getting into their building as Kyler Murray's new number one. Tell us about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, well, first off, it was a great night. And, you know, it's a celebration. It's a celebration for everybody that was involved, you know, his family and everybody back home and all the folks, you know, here in the program, the coaches, the staff, support, everybody was celebrating last night. But most importantly, it was a celebration for Marvin and all the hard work that he's put in to have an opportunity like this. And to come in for 3 years, have the production that he's had is tremendous. But I think the thing that you just when you recognize is hard work, his discipline, his skill set, and what he's done. And so, you know, the Cardinals did an unbelievable job in this process of evaluating, had a great workout. Ask a lot of hard questions, but they're going to get a franchise player here in Marvin Harrison.
No doubt, Coach. You mentioned the hard work and the skill set. We all watched Marvin Harrison Sr. for years, and he said recently that when he would have six catches in a game on that Monday, he's going to Peyton and say, I need the ball, I need the ball. He said about his own son that he doesn't have that in him. He doesn't demand the ball. He doesn't have that part of his game. What's your response to that?
Well, he demands the ball when he's open every play. I can tell you that right now. So, you know, I just think when you watch Marvin and the way he runs routes and the way he plays the ball, his game really translates well in the NFL. He has a unique size, but also like his hips are cut low to the ground. So his change of direction is tremendous, but his football IQ is amazing. And so he understands how to run routes. He knows how to get open. He understands how he fits into the structure of zone and man. And so because of that, I think Kyler Murray is going to like to throw him the ball a lot.
He definitely will. Yeah. One thing I heard Daniel Jeremiah say last night was he has a powerful body with point guard athleticism. I'm happy that I'm no longer playing and I don't have to be tasked with the job of trying to guard somebody like that. But coach, you've spent a long time at Ohio State and you got a chance to compete against JJ McCarthy in college, and you've seen the success that he's been able to have on the field. A lot of naysayers about what he brings, what he can do, his production. What have you seen going up against this guy year in and year out, and the intangibles that he brings to the table for the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to see when you have so many quarterbacks taken in the first round and how many of their games actually translate well to the NFL, because I think that is real. You know, the game of the NFL game is different than college. However, there's also a lot to be said for guys who just find a way to win and work through adversity. Almost all the guys who have success in the NFL work through adversity over time. You know, they fail, they grow, they learn, and they stick with it. And, you know, he certainly has done that. And I think, you know, to me, it's also about the fit. You know, when you step into a system, you know, are the pieces around them? What goes on those first couple of years? Can they protect them with a run game and make sure they have some guys around them that can help them? I think when you look at C.J. Stroud last year and kind of, you know, coming into the draft, I mean, a lot of people, there were a lot of naysayers about him. And you saw what he did only in his first year. But I thought he walked into a great situation. I thought D'Amico Ryans did a great job with him and bringing him along. And so now you have an opportunity to have a superstar. So there's a lot that goes with it. But certainly a big part of it is being a winner and being somebody who can, you know, work through adversity.
Coach, we just talked about one of his guys, but Harbaugh, he's finally out of the Big Ten. I imagine a little bit of a sigh of relief. I'm kidding, but I am curious, what is your relationship with Harbaugh, and what did you see that he did for, you know, the college to see him go back to the NFL?
When you come to Ohio State, first off, you know, the rivalry is something that's front and center every year. And, you know, it's something that, you know, when you come to Ohio State, the number one thing that we talk about in recruiting all the time. It's about, you know, winning the rivalry. And so that's just a part of what you do on a daily basis. And so because of that, you know, we work on that every single day. And so that's, again, our focus this year. And so, you know, as you know, how you know, much of a rivalry that is and everything that comes with it. So, you know, year in and year out, we just, you know, we look ahead to see, you know, what the challenge is. And we look forward to that game.
I'm looking at the names and faces behind you, Coach, and I am seeing NFL legend after NFL legend, and I've seen that logo. I think the stat was given by Adam Schefter yesterday that a offensive player of the year or defensive player of the year from the rookie class out of Ohio State every year since, I think, 2016, you'll have one. This has just become an absolute machine and locomotive as far as NFL talent comes. And yet, I look at the stuff with college football. You guys have one of the top recruiting classes coming in. Talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes team that we could see in 2024.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is when you come to Ohio State, there's a certain level and expectation. And you have to understand that when you come to Ohio State, I mean, you got to enjoy the bright lights. You got to produce. You got to win every game. You know, you have to think big when you're here. And all these guys and the guys who have been before do that. I think we've also seen some guys leave in 3 years. And so, you know, some of those really talented players, you know, we were young. Well, this year we got a bunch of these guys coming back, and it says a lot about our guys, says a lot about our culture to get these guys to come back, added a few other pieces in recruiting and through the portal. And so we have a chance to have a really veteran team this season. So it's exciting. We had a great spring, and we're looking forward to next year.
Can't wait to see it. Real quick before we wrap, you had Marvin Harrison on day one. I know there's a bunch of guys still that are going to be drafted. Can you give us one player to watch for night two?
Yeah, well, Mike Hall certainly is somebody that I think can really disrupt the game. You know, he did it here when he was at Ohio State. He's really twitched up. My guess is he's probably one of the more athletic defensive linemen in the draft. Cade Stover is going to play a long time in the NFL. You know, I mentioned this about Terry McLaurin. It's just a matter of what team and what club puts value on where he is and where he gets drafted. But Cade Stover is going to play a long time in the NFL. And then Tommy Eichenberg, you know, is another guy that to me, you know, should be somebody that, you know, his name comes up, you know, tonight. And then we got a bunch of other guys as we head into the weekend as well.
Coach, we so appreciate you making the time. It's early in the morning. I know how happy you are for Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah. Thank you for joining Good Morning Football, and go get him this year.
All right, thanks. Go Bucks.
It's hard to focus on Coach because I'm looking at Eddie George and Zeke Elliott and the Bosas and Chris Carter.
Vrabel.
Oh, God, it's so good. What do we got coming up, Jen?
Spencer Rattler talk. We still got some quarterbacks on the board, and I think Tom Pelissero is going to discuss them, and I also think Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, is going to join us and give us a little talk about some of the guys drafted last night. But Spencer Rattler still on the board, guys.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.